That cold case you're listening to? Nasty stuff. But you know what else is a crime? Missing even a moment of whatever you're doing to go on a drink run. Luckily, there's Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. With Drizly, you can compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits, then get them delivered in under 60 minutes. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com today.
This is Michael Wilton of Queensrÿche, and you're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, part of the Decibel Geek Podcast Network, featuring special guest from Queensrÿche, guitarist Michael Wilton. Michael Wilton of Queensrÿche. They have a brand new, brand spanking new album coming out called The Verdict. It's available everywhere on Frontiers Records. Your friends call you Whip, yes?
Oh, they do, yeah. It's, are really happy with the release of The Verdict. It's our 15th album and came out on March 1st. Century Music Records, Sony Red. And we're doing the 2019 Verdict tour right now.
You've already started, yes?
Yeah, we started the end of February, and been playing songs from the Verdict, as well as the hits from the Legacy area, and it's. It's a great new show, great new stage show, and it's, people are just absorbing the new material and loving it. So it's really great to be out here promoting The Verdict.
Right on. I was very impressed with the record. Kind of dissected a little bit over the weekend in preparation for this. Well done.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, a lot of thought and preparation went into this album, and we're really happy with it.
I got some thoughts on that we'll get into, but we have a bit on our show where we let the listeners pick the beer we drink on an episode. You have your own beer, Whip Ale. How did that come about?
Oh, yeah. You that's right. You guys are connoisseurs of the nectar. Yeah. it was a promotional item that I did that was my recipe, it was patterned after the beers that I like. And and it was just done as a promotional thing, but lo and behold, it actually turned out to taste pretty good. So, I rolled with it, and I've been doing contract brewing, for about 5 or 6 years. And, I have periods right now where I'm not doing it, obviously, because I'm too busy with Queensrÿche, but
yeah,
my beer's a pale ale.
My co-host would like that then. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to each his own.
I was looking on your website today. I happen to live in, I'm not in one of the 28 states that it can be shipped to. I'm in Minnesota,
right.
So maybe we can figure something out there down the road. But, you know, I do find it fascinating, you know, because, like Charlie Benante from Anthrax has his own coffee, as does Dave Ellefson. You know, Metallica just did a short run beer. Megadeth has done a beer. It's kind of neat. What your own former singer has his own wine. how do you get into this? I mean,
you know, it's just a, you know, something fun to do. You know, but as anyone knows, you know, in the beverage consuming business, it's a lot of hard work. You know? You got to spend a lot of time if you're going to be successful with it. So, you know, that's, you know, it's, let's face it, it's competitive and cutthroat, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, to get your beer or wine, you know, put on the shelves, it's, you know, it's, one has to have a lot of diligence and patience you know, time and money.
All right, fair enough. Well, hopefully, eventually, I'll track one down. The guy I do the show with is in Colorado. Maybe he can get one, and
yeah.
we'll review it on the show. You know, while I was,
I've gotten pretty good reviews online.
Yeah.
You know, out of 5 stars, I usually get like 3.5 to 4. You know,
right.
And I thought that was respectable.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. Comments were good. You know. But, you know, a few guys were, you know, kind of going, well, maybe he should just stick to guitar playing.
You know? Like, hey, at least it's a beer. It's rock and roll. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. But, you know, beer fans are, you know, are harsh. They're critical, you know, and very opinionated. And it's like, doesn't matter who you are. If you don't like your beer, watch out.
Well, if they didn't like the first one, have 5 more and then see how they feel. But. when I was getting ready for this interview, it kind of dawned on me that with the changes and everything in the band the last 7 years, you've sort of become the face of the band. Is that something? Would you agree with that? Do you embrace that?
Well, you know, it's just that we're really trying to stay current and you know, evolving with each album, and you know, you gotta, as you say, keep your face in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the way. It's, you know, it's the age of instant gratification, entitlement. And, you know, you got to keep putting new news out, you know, like
mm-hmm.
every week, every 2 weeks, you know, and it's something that, as you do, you know, you get your image out there quite a bit, you know, and lots of people are on those media sites. So yeah, it's necessary.
Yeah, I noticed you said necessary and not fun. you weren't looking forward to this today. Who the fuck
wow,
am I talking
man,
to?
He's going, let's nail him on his beer, you know.
Oh, hey, man. I like to open with something light, kind of set the mood a little bit, keep things friendly, you know what I mean? I actually interviewed Charlie Benante about a year ago, and the first 10 minutes of the interview was just talking about his coffee. whatever. Queensryche kind of came up in that whole 80s scene there. One thing that was unique is that you guys were from Seattle.
Right.
What was it like being a band from the Seattle area when grunge hit? And kind of beat you fairly or unfairly, you were kind of a band kind of tied more to a lot of those bands from the 80s that took a hit from it.
Well, I mean, you know, the grunge thing happened pretty much in the mid late 90s. So we had already, you know, gone through that whole early 90s explosion of, you know, rock videos on MTV and you know, the lots of, you know, record companies selling tons of CDs and albums and everything. It was a glorious time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, I remember, I think we were touring in around 96, 97. And that's kind of when it all hit, right? And it was, you know, it's like it just kind of goes in cycles, right? You get a new crop of a new generation coming in, and they want their own thing, you know. So it's you know, and for us, you know, it's like we never fit into any really, you know, concrete genre, and we weren't a band that was, you know, on any trends. So
that's true.
We were kind of, you know, oblivious to it all. And we just kept doing what we were doing. And lo and behold, look at us today. We're still going strong, you know, and it's, and I think it's just because Queensryche music is unique, and it's just, it has its place, and it's, you know, obviously, for the most part, it can be timeless.
Yeah, I mean, music has that unique ability to that I don't even think you even get with movies, where a certain song or a record can kind of take you back mentally for a minute to a period of your life.
Exactly, you know, and it's so great when you play songs, you know, like Empire or Jet City Woman or Silent Lucidity, you know, and you just see the looks on the fans' faces. You know, it's taking them back somewhere, you know, some great, you know, memories, or, you know, it's just, you know, it's so great to see that. And, you know, it doesn't, you know, we have pockets of fans, you know, that are from different decades, you know, that have their favorite albums and favorite songs. It's really cool, you know. And now we have, you know, this rendition of Queensryche is 7 years strong, and we have new audiences, you know, coming to the shows and supporting the band and just growing into the music. And you know, for us, it's just, you know, we're just keeping the evolution going, and we're really in a great place right now.
Right on. Let me ask you, is it true that when you guys recorded the first Mind Crime record, you actually isolated during the entire writing? Like, you just got away from everything, didn't listen to TV or radio or anything like that?
Well, that's kind of, you know, how you have to do it. You know, you don't want to be influenced by trends, you know, certain trends, you know, trying to jump on a trend. You know, you just got to sequester yourself into your, you know, your room with one light and concentrate on what you believe in and construct it and build it. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, something that was supported by our record company and our management. You know, they gave the green light, and, you know, we went for it. And it was, you know, look, as you know, today, it's like many fans' favorites.
Of course. I mean, it's an amazing record. Not to spend too much time on it, but did you, at any point during the recording, did it become apparent that you were making this band-defining kind of timeless classic?
Not really.
Really?
You know, these ideas and these songs become your babies, right? You know, you know, you understand them and you think they're really cool, but you have no idea how anybody else is going to react to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's so subjective sometimes. And, you know, it's for an artist, you know, that can be, you know, a danger, because you get married to the demo, and you get married to a certain way, you know, the song is being constructed, but you know, you just look, you know, the ideas come, the inspiration comes, you throw it against the wall. If it sticks, you build it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're, you know, every song that, you know, you're putting on this album is thought out, you know, and you're putting everything into it. So of course you're going to like it for what it is. You don't know if it's going to be popular.
Sure. I mean, if I recall correctly too, that album was a little bit of a slow grow off right out of release, and it really started to pick up steam. I don't know. I can't remember the exact timeline, but it blew up much later than the release date, didn't it?
Exactly. You know, it was, you know, released, and it wasn't until MTV picked it up and, you know, the Eyes of the Stranger video, all of a sudden, you know, it took off in sales, and, you know, we got the Metallica and Justice for All tour, and things just started for us, you know. And
I think I saw your last date on that tour. Did they drop some ping pong balls on you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's always that kind of talk. Yeah, there's always tomfoolery and that kind of a thing happening, you know. But you know, we had a great time with those guys. They're awesome.
Cool. When Chris DeGarmo, the guitarist, left, how did that affect you being the other guitar player in the band? Was it going to be like a more of a pressure situation where you felt you had to deliver more? Was it not that big a deal? How did you feel at the time?
Well, you had a serious. One has a serious think of what are you going to do next?
Yeah.
When that happens, you know, and it's like, my guitar partner buddy decides he wants to fly airplanes, you know?
Old story.
There was, it happens to everybody, right?
Yeah.
But you know, it was obviously, you know, it's like you had to consider, okay. Obviously, you know, emotionally it was pretty tough, but you know, the brain starts scheming and thinking of things of how to, you know, go a different route. And, obviously there was some experimentation and, a lot of uncertainty and, kind of had to throw it into the wind and see what happens, you know, is there enough interest out there to have it continue? And we thought it there was, and so we continued, and we were right.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any relationship with Chris anymore? Or
oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All the time. He's always been a good friend. We get together now and then. We golf together, you know, and
he's never had the itch to come back, huh?
No, he's so busy with what he's doing.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, he loves what we do. He loves Todd, you know, and when we're on the golf course, he loves to, you know, hear the gossip, and that's entertaining for him. So, but yeah, he's done his thing and he's moved on.
Well, it's good to hear that you guys still stay in touch, though. Because he really hasn't done anything musically. That's the only reason I asked. I hope it's okay if I ask a couple questions about Jeff before we get into the new record. Nothing too nefarious, but I had just some things that I thought were interesting. Do you mind if I get into that a little bit?
You might get a generalized answer.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? If that's what I get,
but
that's what
fair.
I get.
Yeah.
All right. Well, from the outside, it seemed like the internal friction with Jeff kind of like, as a fan, you know, it seemed like, looking back anyway, it seems like it was something that was kind of like it slowly got worse and worse. Is that's an accurate statement?
I can say that, you know, at that point in Queensryche's history, I think in its present, you know, condition, it just ran out of steam. You know, there was, everyone was burnt and not really happy with the way things were going, you know, and it's just like a business, you know, you gotta redesign and rebuild yourself. And to do that, sometimes you have to take big chances. And I think that's the way we looked at it.
Well, I remember, of course, the incident that everybody saw that blew up the internet where, you know, he turned around and spit on Scott. I think it was about a month later you guys played Rocklahoma, and I just remember watching it and going, you could really sense the tension on the stage. If I recall correctly, Jeff left while you guys were still playing out the last song of the night, and the band actually kind of hung out and did the bow without Jeff on stage. Was it over? I mean, was it clear that you guys were going to make the move without him at that point?
Well, I mean, you see the four of us taking a bow. Maybe that was kind of symbolic. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm going with this, Mike or Michael. It definitely seemed like it, because it was very soon after I heard about, what was that, Rising West? Is that what you guys called that?
Right. You know,
okay, so it was, I just remember thinking, you know, the whole incident with the spitting, and then seeing this thing on, at Rocklahoma actually play out in front of me, and just it just seemed like you guys really, like, it was a tense moment on stage. I didn't,
you know,
see a lot
as a business, you know, it's just, it had run its course, you know, and it was time to rebuild. So,
all right.
You know, that's you can't get much more than that. You know, it's,
and that was all because of
comment on isolated incidents. You know, I'm just going to say this is the way the band was headed, and it was time for a change.
You warned me I might get some patented answers. Well, wouldn't be doing my job, but I had to give it a shot. Well, let me ask you one last sort of Jeff Tate question. You know, Jeff did his own Queensryche record, Frequency Unknown. Where should the fans slot that? Like, if they want to organize their CDs, should right in the middle of all that?
I don't know. We consider The Verdict the 15th album.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right, so the listener can take that advice however they want to there. Yeah, that album cover was something. All right, so the Rising West thing, was that kind of like a test run to see how Todd would fit in the band?
Yeah, I mean, we really wanted to listen to the fans, and they wanted to hear, you know, the old music that they grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole thing about it, was to do a show and to, you know, see how it could expand and you know. I mean, those two shows that we did in Seattle, I mean, we booked those within like 2 weeks, and both of them were sold out. So if that was any kind of indication of you know, the response from the fans and you know, that obviously gave us, you know, ammunition, and we knew the fans were on our side.
Right on. Todd's a phenomenal singer. How important was it to have someone who could, I don't want to use mimic, but, you know, I mean, he can do the Jeff Tate vocals and really deliver that show. Was that key that you still were able to maintain some of that Queensryche sound?
Well, yeah, it's more of, you know, the integrity of the songs. You know, we want to obviously perform the songs the way that people heard them, you know,
okay,
in the regular keys and not change the arrangements, you know, and we wanted to respect history of the band, and we're still doing that today, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that's kind of you know, when I go see other bands, I like to hear the music that, you know, that I purchased on the CD, you know, so it's the same thing, you know, and it's just a respect to the music, and that's what we do.
Let me, well, first of all, let's talk about The Verdict. I mean, it's a great, great fucking album, Mike. Did I lose you there?
Yeah, pardon. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
I have T-Mobile, and it's not very reliable right now.
I'll cut that part out. Well, let's talk about The Verdict. This is a great fucking album, Michael. I digested it over the weekend, and I'm not going to lie. I kind of checked out on new music since, I don't know, just before you guys broke with Jeff. I'm going to have to reconsider that and check out the other records you did with Todd. But this is, you know, a very current yet classic sounding Queensryche record. I don't know. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Blood of the Levant. Am I saying that right?
Levant.
Levant. Thank you for that. Blood
go.
On the Levant. Fucking killer.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, and we're playing that live now, and the fans love it. It mends with the old Queensryche, and you know, this one is really making a big splash for us.
Another track that I got into, the track Light Years and Inside Out were probably the other two standout tracks for me on the first pass through. But I can tell it's a pretty strong record where, as I listen to it more, my favorite might move around a little bit.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, the general, you know, remarks that we're getting from, you know, the Queensryche fans, is that, you know, just like, it's not just one song, or it's not just that, you know, that they all have different favorites from the album, you know, and it's like every time they listen to it, they, you know, they have a new favorite song. So, you know, and that's a good sign, because, you know, the more you listen to it, the more you digest it, and the more you're going to hear things. And you know, like I said, you know, these songs were well thought out, and, you know, they have depth, like in the Queensryche style of writing. And you know, thus you got the fans just, you know, eating this album up.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it definitely, if you're someone who's been a fan for a long time, I think this is an album that's going to draw them in for a lot of repeat listens. So all the best with that. You guys are among a bunch of bands that got caught up in this Pledge Music mess. Do you have any idea what the hell happened?
Pledge Music, yeah. That was a fiasco, and it's still a fiasco.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
Yeah, it's you know, another road bump in our history.
Yeah,
we're trying to work it out and trying to, you know, they were supposed to fulfill a lot of fans, and they dropped the ball. And
yeah, and it's not just happening, you know, to you guys. There's a lot of bands dealing with this nonsense.
Yeah, you know. It their accounts are empty. It's we're slowly trying to figure out what they're going to do, but in the meantime we're trying to fulfill some orders and keep it not forget about it, but we'll keep dealing with it, and hopefully everybody can somehow get refunded or get their problem resolved. Yeah. It really sucks. And, you know, it's I don't know where it's going to go legally, but, you know, it's a day to day thing, and it keeps changing every day. But, you know, I hope some people go down for this.
Am I right in understanding that they're just supposed to collect money, right? And then maybe get a little fee for that, but then they kick it out when everything's collected. They're not supposed to be, like, you know, fronting one investment with another one. I just can't imagine how the money's not there.
Yeah. Well, that's the, you know, the billion-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. I just it just sounds like such a mess. It's bad for the fans, you know, and it really puts the bands that are involved in such a tough position. So I don't envy you. Hopefully everything will get squared away.
Yeah, that's what I hope.
All right.
But it sucks for the fans, definitely.
Yeah. Todd played all the drums on this record. He's a pretty good drummer, it turns out. Can you tell us anything about Scott? Like, it seemed like he took a hiatus. If I remember right, it was like for something with his family a couple years ago. But will he be returning?
We don't know. You know, he wanted to take some time off from drumming, and he's gone down a different path. And you know, the door is always open, but we have, it's up to him to decide if he wants to come back or not. So, but right now, you know, we're granting him his privacy and leaving it at that.
So just a personal thing. It wasn't, any type of falling out or nothing of that nature.
You know, it's just when you're in a band for, 35 plus years, you know, people change, and, he's given it all for that long, and he just needs some time off. So we just respect that.
Fair enough. We talked about it at the beginning. You are in the middle of you just recently fired up the Verdict tour, right?
Yes. Yes.
Where are you at right now?
We're on our way to, I think Cincinnati.
Okay.
We, just finished the East Coast. So we're, a third of the way done on this leg. We're booked solid through 2019, and they're starting to book shows into 2020. And, this is going to be a great album you know, to tour off of.
You know, you're a band with some history. What's the secret to putting new music into a set list?
It's about the songs, really. It all comes down to it, you know, and the quality of the songwriting and you know, if you're going to play in Queensryche, you got to be an A-plus, you know, musician and performer. So you got to be on your A-game.
Cool. Well, the tour runs like into April, correct? And then, I don't know, I assume you guys are probably hitting some festivals?
Yeah, I mean, it's summertime is a great time for festivals. And we're going to Europe, and we're going to be hitting some big ones. We're hitting the Wacken Festival.
Right on.
You know, that can bring huge crowds, and the Bloodstock in the UK, and, you know, and some other ones in Belgium and in other areas of Europe. So that's going to be really exciting, and it's always great to revisit those festivals. And then I think, you know, there's always plans of doing a proper ground tour in Europe, and I think that will happen later on in the year.
Okay. Yeah, you're playing in my neck of the woods here on Saturday. Unfortunately, it's my wife's birthday party that night, so I promise to catch you next time you come through, though. Because I have seen you twice with Todd. You guys are amazing. The band sounds as good as ever, from recent recollection, anyway.
Well, thank you. You know, you know, we get obviously into, you know, this area is you know, hungry for hard rock and metal. So
indeed,
it's definitely. Places that we play all the time, so you'll be able to catch us hopefully some other time when we're romping through there.
No doubt. I mean, I've seen the band several times over the course of your career. Big fan, obviously. And again, The Verdict is out everywhere. And I think I brain farted and said Frontiers. This is actually on Century Media, so my apologies for that. I just didn't read my notes. Apparently, I thought I could just wing it. But yeah, it's everywhere, right? I mean, they can just iTunes, Amazon, if you like the physical copy. Is there a vinyl out?
Yeah, there's vinyl. You can check at centurymedia.com. You know, they have the vinyl. You know, I don't know where else is selling vinyl, but, you know, in that sense, I don't even know where. Yeah, I don't even know where you can buy CDs anymore.
Do you have a CD of your new album?
Yeah.
And if people want to check out your beer, they go to michaelwilton.com. There's information there. If you live in one of the 28 states, if I understand it right, there's 28 states you can ship it to, correct?
Exactly. You know, it's you know, with the alcohol laws, it's kind of tricky.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, best of luck with that and the tour. And thank you so much for your time. Anything else you'd like to plug before we go?
Yeah, I want to, you know, thank you personally for, you know, supporting Queensryche and, you know, supporting live music and you know, we really appreciate it. So, and like you said, if you want to know anything Queensryche, go to queensryche.com. All the links are there and all the news is there. And, you know, we hope to see you in the future.
Right on. Thank you very much, Michael.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.